is the Johnson & Johnson Show. This is the Zuni Tequila Studios. And ladies and gentlemen, this is Edge.
I'm going to tell you a story about little man. He lived his life on the edge in the garbage can. And then he met that woman. She's going to tear him apart. He needs a brand new life.
You're on, guys.
We're on, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Edge. Jim Holtis, Ryan Dival here. We are live in the Zuni Tequila Studios. No rattlesnakes so far yet tonight, but it's still young.
It's young. We could get on top of those rattlesnakes, make enough for dinner, although we would have to cook up a lot of rattlesnakes because we got a good little shindig going in the Zuni Studios headquarters tonight,
dude,
I think.
It is hopping. It's elbow to elbow in here. I got to start off with a question for you. Since I've known you pretty much and I've got all your emails, it ends with a slogan saying, where's my iPhone 5? Well, today, hey, you know what, damn it? We know where it is. Where's your iPhone 5?
iPhone 5 is sitting at the Apple store ready for me to go pick up. And I tell you, I like it, but I wasn't blown away.
Is it that much? I mean, can you just get the software for your 4S and, like, upgrade pretty good?
No, Apple.
I don't like the different plug changing your whole program around. Well, not a fan.
They have adapters for that. And although it is cooler, you know, there is some new features. If anybody hasn't checked it out, there's a keynote address at Apple.com, but you could watch everything. It's basically larger screen, more processing power, better camera. There's a panoramic thing. There's a couple other new features in the software itself. The software, iOS 6, is going to be available for the other phones, the iPhone 4 and whatnot. The 4G, it goes to 4G LTE, which is designed to work with Verizon and AT&T.
True 4G?
A true 4G LTE. They say LTE. I think that's short for light because it's not blazing LG or 4G speeds. Bottom line is I'm probably going to have to get me one, although I'm still very much looking at the Samsung Galaxy 3. That's one of my
you know what?
Better looking.
I'm thinking about taking my time. I got the 4. I'm thinking about taking my time now to get the discounted S because really the 5, from what I've heard, doesn't do me lights out.
It doesn't do lights out, and like I said, with the Samsung Galaxy 3, it's a Wi-Fi hotspot. You can go off that for no extra money a month. You could put in your own card to build it up as big as you want. The kind of crappy thing about the new iPhone 5 is the 16 gig is like $199, but the 64 gig is like...
Can you still do 32?
Yeah, you could get in between sizes,
okay.
But in a Droid, you could just put in a little card and do whatever you want. But, all right, enough tech talk because there's going to be a lot more of that. I'm probably going to get me in. We'll get in once I get one and talk about it. I'm looking over here. You almost wiped some on me. You know, your bloody...
Whoa, be careful.
...bloody arm
what?
There. Tell us about your new tattoo there.
Well, man, I got a little bit of ink yesterday and I've been designing a piece. I worked at a hotel and had kind of a gnarly experience in my life when 9/11 went down, having to tell hundreds and hundreds of guests that basically our country is under attack and all watching it together in the big screen. And I didn't even work mornings at that time, and I worked at 6 o'clock for some reason that morning. But anyways, been planning this memorial piece for like a year now with our good buddies at the Body Art Bus. And finally, I mean, it was done. We're talking about it. When are we going to do it? All of a sudden, this is the day before, and I texted Joey, and I'm like, dude, how do we not do this tomorrow on 9/11? I mean, that's what the whole thing's about.
Oh, I see.
Spent
that.
four hours under the needles yesterday, and yeah, man.
It's coming along. It's looking good, but it does look like you walked out, you know, before we're at a closing time because I see some work here in the eagle that needs
totally.
To be shaded.
It's all going to be the brown eagle, the white head, the beak, all that. But they did, you know, throw me some color on the flag just to do me for the next 2 weeks till I heal up good enough.
We'll take
the Body Art Bus rocks. Joey Chavez, a really cool deal. Went actually in their studio, but they're the only guys that have all the permits on this beautiful mobile, like 35-person minibus that has all, like, slick floors. And they can do two or three guys in there at the same time. Really top-notch. And Joey's a veteran, and he's got all these degrees in graphic design and just great people. And it couldn't have been done any better.
Well, it looks good, and it's on its way, too. I'm kind of getting antsy myself. I haven't had a tattoo in quite a few years, and I could use some new ink, as my beautiful wife over there
claims. It's her birthday, by the way.
Beautiful birthday.
Happy birthday shout-out to Mrs. Dybul.
Michelle, make my world go round. 29 years young today. So stoked that we could get to celebrate that birthday for her again. And can't wait to have a nice big dinner with her tonight with
she's
the rest
outside.
Of the family.
She's outside. Just missed the whole shout-out, so you'll have to replay the show for her.
No, that's
whatever.
Okay. That always happens to me with the wife. But anyway, I forgot to tell you. I don't know if I told you last week. I married some people.
You did tell us.
I did tell you.
You
well,
did tell
it,
us.
It was so good, I had to say it again. I was the officiant in a wedding to some good
Let
friends.
Let me just tell you right now. I do.
You
do?
I do. See, my job's that much easier.
Hands down. Real quick, great weekend in football. Chargers kicked the crap out of the Raiders. That was awesome. That was awesome.
We just burned half of our audience.
We just burned half the audience, but don't care. That's the way it is.
The other half's jumping up and down. Yeah. They can't
totally.
Be excited.
And hell of a leaderboard at the golf tournament this weekend going into
amazing leaderboard. Unfortunately, my DR decided to take a crap on me right when I wanted to watch the best golf in a while. I mean, Mickelson, Singh,
Woods,
all the guys
Rory.
Were going at it. So I basically had to watch highlights. That part kind of sucked. Didn't want to come up with two other topics today, real quick, go over. The Libyan ambassador to the U.S. got killed, and that was kind of an issue thing. More issues stirring up in the Middle East. That sucks. And then also, real quick, I know our Facebook and my Facebook is loaded up with it. Politics on Facebook.
Yeah,
there's nothing.
Fall over.
There's nothing that just polarizes some friends against other friends than, you know, talking about politics on Facebook. And I appreciate, you know, everybody using Facebook to basically yell at the top of their lungs to most of their friends and a lot of people they don't know. But please keep it angrily away from me because I don't like people getting all mad at each other.
Should we start up the website keeppoliticsofffacebook.com?
You know, probably that URL is probably already taken. But
I bet it's not.
Hey, before we get in with our masteroso guests there, RJ and LJ, Ricky Johnson and Luke Johnson, legendary.
Mighty fine, these guys.
These guys are just amazing. So
delicious.
Four-wheel Avengers. We will be talking to Rick Johnson about his two-wheel background as well. And we got the band Nancaro in-house that are going to be rocking.
Yeah, man. They're going to be rocking here.
But before that, we haven't talked any gossip. We got to talk some smack on the Hollywood gossip scene. And to do that, we have a new face in-house. It's Brianna talking I think we're going to call it Breeze 3, right?
Breeze 3. Brianna, officially our new assistant show producer. Welcome to the family officially here at Edge. Stoked to have you aboard. Breeze 3, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I'm just here enjoying a bunch of cute country singers in front of me. I like it.
Cute. Wait a second. We're talking about the same guys here.
Handsome, cute.
There's some good guys. Now, we had a good little jam session on Soundcheck. You also can check out some of their songs. We're going to be posting them on our Facebook a little bit later on this evening on our Facebook page, so check out some full-length songs from Nancaro, as well as hearing a full-length feature song later on the show. But tell us what's going on in the gossip land.
Okay, well, since we were talking about football, Chad Johnson, also known as Chad Ochocinco, headbutted his wife back in August and was officially charged with a misdemeanor today for battery assault against his wife.
Things are going awesome for him right now.
Well, he's a free agent now.
Free. Very,
Ojo Sink, no.
Yeah, very free. I heard actually his wife's going to be on, I think it was Oprah show coming up here.
Yeah. It's sad. I guess he denies, he will not sign divorce papers because he still loves her and thinks that there's a chance.
Yeah, but they just got married like this year too anyway,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dominique, that's what happens if you put your hands on a woman. Not a good sign, but
yeah, okay, you deserve it.
What else is going on in Breeze 3?
All right, Heidi Klum. I love this topic. So she admits to Katie Couric that she is seeing her bodyguard.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Snap.
I like
for
it.
For how long?
Just like the movie. How
well,
cute.
No, not for how. Apparently, it's a new relationship.
Yeah. Oh.
But, you know, the past few months, they've seen her with her bodyguard
a
in
new,
Italy.
A new relationship?
New,
like K-N-E-W? Like everybody knew about it forever?
Good one. I like it. I like it. I like it.
That one's free.
But, yeah, but she wants to be friends with Seal.
Sure she does.
But I like it because it humbles her. I thought she was kind of a diva. But she's.
You're right.
I think she is.
I mean,
TV.
But she's got this super popular show that
oh,
just
yeah.
owns, you know, the, yeah. what is it, Bravo Network or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, the Runway.
Yeah, Project Runway.
Yeah.
All right, what's number three on Breeze 3?
I like this one, too. Britney Spears. She has had a 2-year sexual harassment lawsuit battle against her former bodyguard, Francisco Flores.
Ooh.
He claimed she was a naked nuisance, and she would drop her cigarette lighter and bend down in front of him and show him her goods.
How is that a nuisance?
It's, you know...
And he filed a complaint against
him? No, it's a lawsuit, and she settled today.
Oh.
Was it a nuisance because he had an arm injury every time he had to pull out his camera and take a picture? Was that the nuisance on it?
Yeah,
is that like
I
the
guess.
Guy that won $20 million from Burn McDonald's coffee because it was hot?
It was hot coffee, yeah. Well, I like how you compared McDonald's coffee with Britney Spears' naked butt. But, okay, that's a good combination. So,
man, that's it.
Yeah, that's good. So Breeze 3 right there, you heard it here on
the
Edge
first
Radio.
First time makes its debut right here, Azunia Tequila Studios, Johnson & Johnson night. Dude, really?
It's a good one, too. Hey, you guys want to see more of Bree? Check out our Facebook. It's edge3.tv. Facebook.com/edge3.tv.
Yep.
We got to go to commercial. We got to pay some bills. So
we're going to do it. So we're going to have Nan Caro jam us out to commercial. When we come back, Ricky Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, don't go away on Edge.
At General Tire, we make tires that can take on the elements and survive. Less than 1% of the earth is paved. Go attack the rest. General Tire. Anywhere is possible. Be sure to visit your local General Tire dealer for a complete line of General Tires.
I'm a little diver. I'm 6, and I'm going to list some facts on why you should buy your next car or truck for Stadium Nissan. Fact: Stadium Nissan is conveniently located next to Anaheim Stadium. Fact: spread of the entire staff will make your whole experience easy and hassle-free. Stadium Nissan will give you free car washes for life with any new car purchase. Fact: a tiger's my favorite animal. Fact: Stadium Nissan has an amazing inventory of new and pre-owned cars and trucks. Fact, my mommy really turns heads and her tricked-out Maxima. Fact, my daddy thinks he's tough and his lift is Titan. Fact, Stadium Nissan has a super easy website to go through with all the info that you could possibly ask for. So these are the facts. If you still have any questions, hit them up on the website for live chat. StadiumNissanOC.com. I said StadiumNissanOC.com. Simply better.
I'm Ryan Friedlinghaus, CEO of West Coast Customs, and I'm on the edge of the next badass custom design.
All right, folks, welcome back to Edge. We're sitting here here in the studio.
We had too many distractions going on.
We did, but that's a good thing. Now it's going off in there.
We forgot to signal the band to play us out of break. That was our fault, boys. But there will be plenty more commercials to come in this.
Lots of Nan Caro to come here tonight, man.
Full song, so.
Well, right here we've got our first big guest on the show. Matter of fact, I believe it's the first and only guest that's got to be on Edge twice now, the one and only Mr. Ricky Johnson. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be here. Now, that commercial was awesome. That little girl has got a future in advertisement. I think, Jim, you better look out. She's going to come steal your seat.
You don't have to tell me. Old fat guy sitting here just ready to get clipped at any time.
Well, I'm her agent, so I'll be making money off her no matter what. So I'm pretty glad I get her out there. That's my little daughter, Riley, and extra special. Took a lot of M&Ms to get through that audio recording with her, and she was able to pull it off at the end, although she was hovering 2-3 inches off the ground, high on M&Ms. But,
there you go.
Speaking of energy, Red Bull driver, longtime standing motocross racer. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome, man. This year has gone, you know, really stellar. I mean, we've been very fast, and unfortunately, our main competition, you know, we have a lot of competition out there. But Johnny Greaves and I were landing on each other. Our families were fighting. We had all the stuff going on last year, and this year,
great for TV.
Yeah, it's awesome for TV, built for TV. But this year, it's been set up to where either Johnny Brake breaks and I win, or I win and Johnny breaks. You know, one of those two scenarios. And so we haven't had that great battle like we've been looking for. So I plan on having it out at Lancaster, Palmdale.
Are the families still battling in the pits? Because go on regardless of the truck.
We're back to Christmas cards now?
Yeah, no Christmas cards at this point. Okay. No, the mail between Green Bay and Orange County doesn't quite – they don't reach. Pony Express doesn't go that far.
It gets lost in Vegas somewhere.
Right, but my battle, who I've been going back and forth with on points all year long, has been Scott Douglas. And then you got the Jenkins brothers that, you know, have been going faster and faster every week. And Adrian Chaney, who's been fast but has been missing his mark just a little bit this year. So for me as a racer, I've had an awesome, awesome year.
Now, I'm sorry.
I want to bring it back a little bit because we're already caught up in the
four-wheel
racing. You know, I want to dial it back to two wheels and a whole lot less CCs. I mean, obviously, with greater age comes the K's and also a lot more horsepower. I want to dial it back to the 250 days, get back in the time machine and go back to the good old days. So, I mean, obviously, you know, before four wheels even became a thing, two wheels – I'm going to throw out the legend status. We've had a couple legends sit here in front of us, and I'm going to drop legend status on two wheels. So, you know, tell us a little bit
And setting up the legend, though, really quick, one of the newest inductees, if not the newest, to the Motorsports Hall of Fame. Congratulations on that. Well deserved.
Thank you very much. It was a very cool deal. The Motorsports Hall of Fame of America inducted me, Danny Sullivan, Vic Edelbrock, Pop Dreyer, Neil Bonnet, and Ed Pink.
So there's a crowd, my friend.
He just dropped something right there.
Yeah, there were some big names in motorsports, and I'm very proud to be inducted for two wheels, for that matter. So, you know, I am proud of my four-wheel career, but the two-wheel career seems to trump it because I seem to do it a little longer and was I don't know if I was any better at it, but I won quite a few races. But
what's going on that right there? What race stands out? Real quick, we're talking here. This is Edge Radio. If you're just tuning in online, coming back from work, wherever you're at, in your car, at home, listening in with Ryan Dival, Jim Holtis, Ricky Johnson in front of us. Ricky, tell me what probably were the standouts of your one or two biggest highlight moments of the two-wheel career?
Well, see, I grew up in San Diego. My father was one of the ones that started Barona Oaks back in the day. And then I used to go to the USGP at Carlsbad all the time. I was a little kid, you know, running around by the mud, by the fences and stuff like that. So when I was able to win my first national moto, I didn't win the overall because I got fifth in the first moto, got stuck in the gate. I worked my way back to fifth, but I was able to win past Johnny O'Mara and win the last moto of the season. And I'll never forget, you know, that being a home crowd, there was probably 30-some thousand people there. People lined all up and down. They had a 125, 250, and 500 national there, and I was able to win the last moto of the year. That, to me, I knew I had arrived. You know, I mean, I was fortunate because Mark Barnett, who dominated that year, kicked everybody's ass all year long, won every moto, but blew his shoulder completely apart and wasn't there for that weekend. So without him being there, I was able to muster up the confidence and go past Johnny O'Mara and win the race. That was huge. Also, to win the 86 USGP, that race that I was talking about all those years, was a very, very big deal. Races that come back to mind, this one I got second place, the 86 battle at Anaheim, where David Bailey and I went back and forth and back and forth.
I saw that video on YouTube, by the way, the other day. Oh. Still on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. That's what's so great about today. You can actually go and find – you can hear about, like, talking about this race on the show right now. Go to YouTube, find it, see it, relive it, and relive the excitement. It's in standard definition. It's not pretty crappy definition. But bottom line is you'll still be able to see what's going on and get that energy again. You know, I know as I'm getting old, I'm 38 now. I'm going to say you're around the same age. And
I wish. About 10 years ago I was.
I'll start throwing you a bone there, okay? Tell me, you know, as I get older, the good times, you know, certain things definitely start to stand out more. As people remind you, you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that. Is there anything either around the track or just in that period of your life that really, you know, flashes back and really hits you over and over again as a vivid memory? Was it a crash? Was it a sponsor signing? Was it, you know, meeting someone?
Well, no, I think the whole experience, because, you know, from week to week, it's up, it's down. You know, you look at Eli Tomac, you know, a couple weeks ago, he dominated at Steel City, killed everybody in both motos. He comes out, it's hot, you know, obviously the guy's in awesome shape. There's no doubt about that. Probably overtrained a little bit, got dehydrated in the first moto, then fell down in the second moto, had watched the championship fall out of his hands. It's those kind of things. So one of the things that does
it sounds like
out,
you've fallen.
I've fallen a lot.
Pretty
Let
tight.
Me tell you, I have fallen many, many times. But It's those kind of things. It's the ups and the downs in your life that make you who you are, that make you appreciate a championship, that make you appreciate friendships, doing different things, and being able to, you know, come on a radio show and have a blast, you know, drink some tequila and listen to a bitchin' band play and, you know what I mean, drink some Red Bull and stuff.
Obviously,
like that.
This is the epitome of his career right here at Edge Radio.
I'm at my peak.
When they ask him 10 years from now, my friend.
This is what I'm going to remember. But I'd lost – one of the tough things was I lost my first championship in 1982. I had led the whole season, came up to the last round. All I had to do was get to fifth place. I went to pass Donnie Hansen, crashed, broke my front wheel, lost the championship by I think two or three points, and ended up losing it. You know, at 18 years old, that one hurt more than anything, and I still, you know, I always wish, well, I wish I could take that back. But
kind of like losing your first girlfriend. It hits that much harder, right?
Exactly.
When you're young.
And that first girlfriend didn't cost you $100,000 either. Might have, but it didn't then. But it made me appreciate every win, every race, everything. And so it changed me who I am as a racer. And it's not a destination. It's every turn. It's every first turn at Crandon. You know, I mean, we come down and they're nuts. Should I be conservative and hold back? Screw that. I'm going as fast as I can to get to the front to win every moment.
So with that, I want to ask you, how about obviously we're out there just a couple weeks ago. And first of all, to your accomplishments that you've had in your amazing career, to add the Amsoil Cup and the World Championship in one weekend, that doesn't suck.
Well, I did not win the World Championship. I hate to say it, but it was that's a Saturday race.
Oh!
I was in front.
That's right.
I burnt a piston. And,
I would think you would know that. Come on now.
No. There was 3 days of racing. They had four races each.
We had a lot of racing going on that weekend.
It was so crazy.
I was out in front and was in a great place to win it, but we ended up burning a piston and had to pull over and save the, you know, don't burn the motor to the ground. And besides, I was in a spot they would have passed me anyway, so we pulled over.
But Friday
was a great race.
Yeah.
Second behind Johnny Dyson, back and forth, learned a little bit, came out Saturday, was faster, qualified on the pole and got those 2 points. And then Sunday was an awesome day. Won the points race. Hands down, we killed it. And then everything fell into place. It was like in slow motion when it came to the Amsoil Cup. I'm just going around, and next thing you know, I'm passing this guy, passing that guy. And we walked away with it. It's a monumental deal for me.
And as I recall, before the motor went south on Saturday, you led the halfway point to get two more points because the championship ended up being a lot closer at that point that you and Team Menzies wanted it to be. So, I mean, every point counts as well. You just talked about losing a Supercross championship by 2 points, so every little bit helps.
Oh, definitely. But you can't points race. You know, I think if you start thinking, well, I got to get, if I finish fifth for the rest of the year, I'll get it, because something will happen. And sure, you know, things like that happen. We lost an alternator. Crandon, the first you go around, we burn a piston this time around, and no one did anything wrong. It's just mechanical parts, and we're running them wide open 80% of the time, so things happen.
My other question was going to be leading into Crandon high speed turn number one, talking about crashes. Very first race, I believe it was Sunday, in the first three laps, two gnarly crashes, two helicopter rides in two consecutive laps. As a racer, I mean, you know that's going on. Do you let that get in your mind after all these years? You just go out there and do your thing.
You can say that it doesn't bother you, but you watch Johnny Greaves, you watch myself, you watch all of us. So we know that honestly, we could die there. I mean, you're coming in at 100 miles an hour. You got guys all around you. Trucks are, you know, 5,000 pounds, and anything can happen. You know, we've seen a lot of bad crashes there, but as soon as they drop that flag, it all goes away. It becomes slow motion. All you do is you keep looking down that hall trying to get to that first turn first, no matter where you are. You just keep digging.
Well, we're talking short course off-road right now with Ricky Johnson. You're listening to Edge Radio. Hopefully you're driving home, making it home safely after just a beating day at the office. I'm sure you guys are ready to get home and get some Azunia tequila in your body. My name's Ryan Dyble. Next to me, Jim Holtis. We're chatting it up. We should probably go to break real quick and then come back into a nice long segment.
We're going to do that too, and then we're going to parlay into Rick with you, how it is having your son racing with you, Luke sitting here right next to you, now a winner in the pro category, and that was an awesome weekend too. Want to talk to you guys all about that. Folks, hang on. A lot more Edge to come. Nan Carroll going to rock us out to break. We'll be right back.
Off-road. racing's coming back to the Valley this month. The fastest, most punishing off-road truck racing series is coming to the Antelope Valley Fairgrounds for 2 days of racing action. See off-road's greatest stars, including seven-time motocross champion Ricky Johnson, battle with off-road stars Johnny Greaves and Kyle Ledoux. Witness Baja champion Bryce Menzies take on Rob McCracken for the Pro 2 Championship. And all the drivers will battle for the richest payout in off-road racing history, the Rick Huseman Memorial Cup. The Traxxas Torque Off-Road Championship invades Antelope Valley Saturday, September 29th and Sunday, September 30th. Factory teams from Ram, Traxxas, Red Bull, and Amsoil fight for the final race of the championship. It's 900 horsepower on the dirt and in the air. Gates open at 8 a.m. each day. Racing action at 10. Every ticket is a pit pass. It's the Torque Off-Road Championship and the battle for the Rick Huseman Cup. Pick up a $10 discount coupon at Beck's Bar in downtown Lancaster. It's the Off-Road Championship at Antelope Valley Fairgrounds, September 29th and 30th. Witness the history.
Hey, I'm Tanner Faust, and I'm definitely living life on the edge.
Man, just digging some of that crazy funk here on the edge. Nan Caro rocking it out, folks. We are back. Jim Holtis, Ryan Dival. We are here live at Azuñia Tequila Studios, and we're talking to Ricky Johnson, motorsports great inductee, latest inductee to the Motorsports Hall of Fame. And now we're joined by his son, Luke Johnson, who's now, man, up and coming on the top of his game. But it seems to me, Luke, man, I've been watching you race for years and years now. You don't seem like the young kid to me anymore. But, hey, welcome to the show for the first time, I believe.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right, there it was.
Thank you, Luke, and back to me.
Like I like to tell your dad, yes.
No. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No, yes.
Little inside joke.
So, Luke, what have you been doing all day? Well, earlier today, fellow Pro-Lite competitor Matt Cook and I were doing a little bit of shooting for the Torque show.
I've heard of
Temecula.
Him.
May or may not have heard of him. I had a good day of shooting. It was wise a little bit late here to the Edge show, trying to make it through some of that traffic down here in San Clemente to get up here to the show. But it was a good day, fun shooting out there. I got to go check out a bunch of his cars. He's got about 12 collector cars up in his shop.
Oh, yeah? Hot rods?
All sorts of stuff. He almost crashed his $75,000 Corvette or Camaro into the side of this like fence. He did a huge burnout for the show and about parked it in a wall, but he just barely missed it. I was cringing like, oh, man, that would be expensive to pay for. Like, I was going to pay for it, but he asked me if I wanted to hop in and give it a try, and I'm like, I can't afford that.
Ask Oberg how it is loaning a vehicle for the show.
He's got the money to pay for it. He's walking up right now.
There's Matt right there.
Maybe we could sneak a check out of him before he walks out the door.
The Wild Tiger is in the house.
Yes, he is.
He's walking across.
Coming in hot. Well, tell us, you know, obviously coming on really strong in the series. But you got to kind of, you know, cross-country hop from home base here in SoCal to all the races. You know, how's it been for you just keeping on top? You've obviously been out to every race under the sun, you know, following underneath Dad. And how has that really helped you to define your driving style?
I mean, this year it's been awesome to be part of such a great team. I'm part of the Jenkins Brothers Traxxas team this year, and they've given me an awesome opportunity to there we go.
You need a Azuñia Tequila? You're kind of slowing down on me.
Yeah, I know. No, I mean, they've given me an awesome opportunity this year. I got to test a lot, and it's put me in an awesome position here towards the end of the championship. I'm 1 point out of third, and if things absolutely fall in the right position, I could walk away from Antelope Valley with a championship, but that's a very slim chance. So.
Well, I mean, you never know what happens, and you're coming on a high right now. You got a new truck out there 2 weekends into the new truck program. First time out in Bark River, which you've done good at for quite a while. First big pro win. Matter of fact, we had Johnny and CJ on the show, and I remember the epic picture of them and you two on the podium at the same time, two fathers and sons. What motorsport do you see that in? I don't know. It was pretty special to me. It must have been super cool for you guys.
What sport at all do you see that?
Never.
That's unheard of. So that was
one, let alone two.
Well, there has been father-sons in the past. You know, you had Roger Mears Sr., Roger Mears Jr., you had Walker Evans and Evan Evans, you had Jack Flannery and Jamie and Jeff.
But they
Flannery.
Went on the same day?
But no, they did not win on the same day. And they also, if they did win on the same day, they didn't win the same weekend. So it's pretty cool Luke and I winning on Saturday and Johnny and CJ winning on Sunday. So it was a pretty monumental deal, even though we want to
beat them as much as we can, you know, I have to say, you know, I can't imagine that. Now I know how proud Johnny is to watch his son win those races.
That, I mean, that's a perfect segue for to get into this. Obviously, you know, there's been tension, there's been battling, and a lot of you know, infused drama that we see on TV between the yourself and Johnny and the families. I mean, how would you describe that rivalry? I mean, really break it down on what fuels you and give me a little highlight of it.
Well, a lot of people think, like Kyle LeDuc has made comments that I'm a very emotional driver, that I get upset, I get pissed. No, I get very focused, and I do get upset, but I don't throw you know, everything into the wind. I do race 100% all the time, and some people don't like it. You know, they think there's sometimes that you should give a little and take a little. I don't agree with that. I think we're paid. I know that I'm paid, and Bryce and Luke are paid by Red Bull to go out and whip people's ass like Matt Cooks all day long. So our deal is not just to be a good showman and all the different stuff, but it's to race and it's to win. So when we go out there, Johnny and I both are the two worst losers and hate to sit in the second place. So if he can get close enough to hit me or put a bumper on me, he's going to. Same thing. If I get close enough to rub him out of the way, we're going to do it. So that's the way the cookie crumbles.
Now, as your rivalry with Johnny has furthered, Luke, do you automatically have that rivalry with CJ that bleeds over, even though he's already racing in your class? Does that add a little more fuel to the fire?
I think this year it's a little bit different. I mean, any time that I've had any success, he's been, you know, we haven't really had much contact on the track until we got to Crandon. I haven't seen the tape, but supposedly he's the one that took me out on Sunday.
Let's go to the tape.
gave me a little bit of extra work on Sunday, but still salvaged a fourth after starting back in the back. But, I mean, going into the end of the season, we're neck and neck for that third spot in points. So that's something that, you know, I have to keep in mind going into this last round. We got double points, and it's a big deal. So
All right, enough about points. I'm talking like Hatfield McCoys. When you see him driving through Starbucks, when you were at Starbucks, I mean, do you give him stink eye, or is it like, or is there a mutual respect?
It's more like if you're at the log cabin eating breakfast, and it's about 200 square foot.
Yeah.
Do you sit outside, or do you sit inside?
Am I going to throw my biscuit and gravy at that guy?
What's going on? It's a big-ass pancake, and it's coming at you.
Yeah.
No, we're good. You know, honestly, we all know that we can tear each other up. We can hurt each other pretty bad. And so when we're in the vehicle, we're different guys. But when we're outside of the vehicle, we're very cordial. And, you know, we're going to shake hands and hug and kiss and stuff like that. But when we put our helmets on, it's like, screw you.
There's highs and lows, though. I mean, there's times when you're slapping fire. There's times when you're barking at each other. Like you said, it's emotional. How impossible is it not to be emotional? I mean, you got everything riding on the line, your career, your family, your notoriety, everything, all your money invested, and your health. How can't you be emotional?
Well, that's the thing. I think the people that understood the battle between Johnny and I the best was Johnny and I. You know, I think our families didn't like, you know, seeing him get the better of me or me getting the better of him. His kid didn't like me landing on him, so he flipped me off, so I got in his face. Then his mom got mad at me, and, you know, I mean, that's just what people should do. They should defend who they love, and they should go after who they don't like, and that's part of it. But I've learned over the years that I don't take it personal. You know,
yeah.
I was at Honda, and Bob Hanna went to Suzuki, and I had a guy punch me in the face at Unadilla because he was a Bob Hanna fan, and I won and did everything that I thought was right. But that's okay. You know,
that's because they didn't have full frontal helmets back then to block your face.
No, I took it off, and I was doing a victory lap with him, and all of a sudden I saw a fist come out of the crowd, smash me in the nose, and I thought, okay, enough of that. But anyways, the point being is that you want fans to you want to be more black and white. If everybody loves you, you're lying to pretty much everybody. Then
I want to put something to both you guys. Obviously, the state of short course kind of up in the air, and you guys have raced the West Coast Series somewhat, but obviously the full time in the Torque Series. Take outdoor motocross. It just finished up Lake Elsinore. You know, you take the other sponsor, Lucas Oil. They're a sponsor of that, but you have other energy drinks, and everyone seems to get along and work together when it comes to, like, the outdoor motocross thing that I've seen, at least. I don't know, like, that. It doesn't seem to be working that way in the truck series. What's your take on that?
Well, my take on it is because I've been there from the beginning, and I think Lucas Oil has done some phenomenal things for a lot of people. I mean, have employed a lot of us at one point or another. You know, they've helped me with my own series back in the day. They said, we'll help you with TV. You know, they did a lot for a lot of different people. But I think it's just kind of hard for outside sponsors to come in and say, okay, it's a Lucas Oil Series officiated by Lucas, sponsoring Lucas Trucks, and all of these different things.
Then they make the calls.
Then they make the calls. So they're making the calls. They're producing the TV shows and all the different stuff. What I love about the Nationals is that you have the AMA, the American Motorcycle Association, just like we have USAC. That's why back when we started Torque, we wanted somebody. I want somebody that I can be pissed off with.
Take
that
the calls off me.
Yeah,
separation.
Yeah, separation between
church
and state.
Right?
Exactly. 100%. And so with that, you got the AMA that can disqualify people that if you're too heavy, if you're too light, if your tires are the wrong size or whatever it might be. And then you have the National Promoters Group that brings in Red Bull and Lucas and all the different stuff. And then Lucas also has their TV production. So they're doing the television production. They're also a title sponsor on the Nationals. But you also have Red Bull as a major title sponsor. And then you have also the manufacturer. So I think this is America, man.
And I think Rockstar and Monster have worked with the outdoor in the last few years as well.
Right, exactly. Monster was there, then they decided they wanted to focus on Supercross, and then Rockstar was there, then they decided they're just going to sponsor teams.
Well, I love it. You're making the director calls on me in this year. That's going great.
Ryan, go ahead.
You guys, thank you. You guys tuning in right now, you're listening to Edge Radio. Ryan Dival, Jim Holtis, calling it live, like it, you see it. If you're on the road, in the house, on the computer, thanks for tuning in with us right now in front of us. We got Ricky and Luke Johnson breaking it down short course style. Right now we're talking about the Torque Series, your competing series, but basically you're just going over kind of the ifs, ands, or buts about, you know, the two basic large competing series. What's the answer? If we want to see a NASCAR style complete unified organization that really is going to project the best thing for short course, what's the answer, guys?
This is what I think. This is the world according to GARP, which is one step smarter than Ricky Johnson. But seeing everything the way it is, I think Lucas is doing an awesome job at what they're doing. I think USAC is doing an awesome job at what they're doing. What I would like to see is 5 pro races on the West Coast. Let Lucas handle the West Coast and do everything there, and then let USAC do 5 races elsewhere, so all drivers can run a 10 weekends a year. That's manageable.
And
you have 2 championships.
For that, you're going to need to unify the specs in the classes, right?
They already are. All the rules are the same. All we've got to do, I mean, there's a couple little things. We unify the rule book. We unify the numbers and all the different stuff.
Do you have cross points races and a cross challenge?
Let him get to it. Let him get in the gun.
So now you got your 5 and your 5, and so then you crown a Lucas champion. You crown a Torque champion. And then the guy who has the highest points between the two is a Grand National champion. And now everyone goes, well, we have to have 1 Super Bowl. We can have our Crandon Cup races or our Firebird Cup races or Elsinore Cup races or whatever those might be. But now you have an opportunity for possibly, let's hypothetically, Kyle LeDuc wins the West Coast, I win the East Coast, Johnny Greaves is second in both, and he wins the title, the Grand National title. Now you have multiple sponsors, you have multiple champions, you have all these things. You also have Lucas that's working the best to make their 5 shows the best that they can be, and USAC making theirs the 5 best that they can be. Now, this is a pro driver thing that I'm talking about, because the problem is when you start dragging pro buggies and all this different stuff, either East Coast or West Coast, both of them are going to die. It just that's the way it is.
So you have your sportsmen's that are like more of a regional deal?
Yeah, you have your sportsman races that are there. They're part of our show and do all the different stuff, but then you give them a couple extra rounds for the West Coast and a couple extra rounds for the East Coast. But as far as pro events, we gotta have the Charlottes and we gotta have the Chicago. We gotta have all these new markets.
Along
to
with
get
the
out
super
there.
Speedways, absolutely.
Exactly.
I don't know. This sounds racist to me. It sounds like segregation. You're trying to keep the West on the East. Can't you just bring everybody together?
Well, you know what?
No,
you can't, because no one can afford it. The East Coast guys are bitching, why are we going west? We can't
but
afford to go
if
there.
If we had a larger, more unified, more consistent TV package that was national, creating a broader audience, bringing in more dollars, having larger sponsors instead of just your same 6 or 10 sponsors that could barely afford to sponsor 1 or 2 drivers, then, boom, Tide comes to the table. Then, boom, Toyota, all these factory teams step up much higher. The dollar amounts there, then you can play across the entire game board.
Well, yes and no, but I disagree with that. Here is why, because now if you have Lucas Oil, let's say you have Lucas Oil and Rockstar that sponsor the East Coast, and you have AMS Oil and Red Bull that sponsor the East Coast. I mean, Rockstar and Lucas on West, all right, they both want title deals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we have 1 series, you have 1 title. All right, so now I'm
good.
Saying,
making a lot of millions.
Well, no, not if it's Lucas and they're controlling it and it's the Lucas Oil series. They're only going to spend so much. I mean, why would they cut their own throat? That's going to cut their bottom line. So that's what I'm saying is I think that the series is such that we have a strong West Coast contingent. That needs to be that, and a strong East Coast. But the pros are able to travel, and that's what we need. That's what we need to work on, and not just the amateurs.
I think you're talking reality now, 5 years from now. I'm talking a magical world where, you know, you basically wipe everything away and start from scratch and create it, you know, from scratch on how you'd like to begin it. Is that a different strategy then if you're doing it that way?
Now we're talking Robbie Gordon trucks. Now we're talking Casey Curry that's doing stuff with Feld. I mean, what if NASCAR decides to go, screw all of you guys, we're going to start our own series.
NASCAR off-road.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. If you, depending on how you want to do it, if it's fantasy world, why doesn't NASCAR start their own series? They have the short tracks. They have the long tracks. They have all the different stuff. They have the teams that are looking for places.
Everyone could just follow the series.
TV package.
You're looking for young drivers to grow. This is a perfect place for them. They're learning how to handle heavy cars. I mean, there is this guy out there that kind of been getting lucky in NASCAR for the past 5 years named Jimmy Johnson that came from this.
I've heard of him.
And he also contributes a lot of his car handling skills to throwing around big trophy trucks and stadium trucks and all that stuff. So
NASCAR, are you listening? Are you paying attention?
Luke, we got Peaseman Cup coming up here. Mm. How you feeling coming to this? Looks like you're riding a high, super confident. The new truck seems to be working good. First time coming out, Lancaster.
Speaking
you
of high,
be
I've
pretty,
seen that,
pretty,
seen that
pretty
truck
stoked.
In some photos. That thing is flying pretty dang high.
And I had a good run going on at Bark River. I mean, we were launching that truck. I mean, I was
right out of the gate.
We came out second quick, first time on the track, right off the welding table. It speaks volumes about what my team is able to do, but I just had a good run going. I kept launching that thing. I think I passed the 150 mark on the downhill at Bark River, but it carried over to my momentum at Crandon. We had some good testing there, and for once I was actually faster than my teammate and last year's champion, Andrew Goodell. So for me, it's been a gradual progression forward this year. Everything's kind of linked up with everything going right with the team, and coming into this last round, I'm not leaving anything on the table. Like I said, I'm third in points, and for me as well, I'm coming in doing as much as I possibly can to make sure that there's nothing that's going to keep me in the way of that cup. I mean, I don't get to participate in the Husman Cup. It's a Pro 2, Pro 4 thing. I'm in a Pro Light, but we do have the Traxxas Pro Light Cup yet. But the Traxxas Pro Light Cup is, you know, something that started last year, and it's a $15,000 cup. And that's something that I want. You know, that's a good way to end the year. It's another feather to put in my cap, and it's something I'm looking forward to. So whether it's go-karting, riding motorcycles, doing everything, going to the gym, making sure I'm on point so that when I show up to Antelope Valley, which is my first time in 4 years racing back in California where my entire family gets to come out and watch
really,
me race.
Really, that long?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
Well, so now this is Luke's dad, Rick.
Rick, welcome in.
I'm going to take over the show here. there's been a lot of development with you and with the Traxxas team and stuff like that. Not only do you have your teammate, who's Andrew Cadell, who's been the fastest guy on the track, but you also have his dad, Roger, that's helping you with the data and all the different stuff. So tell us about some of the things that have made a difference in you as a driver.
That for me, just being more understanding of what the truck actually does. Roger Goodell is a big guy at AIM, and you know, having three competitive trucks that we have on the, you know, under one tent, we get to bounce ideas off each other. You know, I'm not going to be the fastest at every section of the track, but you know, Keegan and Andrew have valuable information that, you know, we can pull off of their trucks that helps me get better, and that's something that's also propelled my career forward, is just having that opportunity to understand. Okay, you know, it says, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going flat through this section, and the data says, no, you're at 85%. You need to wake it up a little bit and quit being a wuss. So, you
know,
gotta
call it out now. Now, here's the big hitch in the short course off-road giddy up today. Announced today, Tony Vanillo, the whole Vanillo family, and the whole crew resigns and out of Lucas Oil off-road racing series. Wow.
And explain who he is, too.
The competition race director since back in the core days. So, you know, eight, 10 years he's been running the show. I mean, helped create. I mean, it was the American off-road series before even Lucas Oil stepped in. So, yeah. I mean.
Well, Tony Vanilla is a valuable guy. I mean, he's the one that Jim Baldwin wanted. You know, he built some trophy trucks for Jason, Josh, and also Jim. And Tony and his fabrication company had built unbelievable trucks. And so Jim didn't get along really good with the East Coast guys, the Wisconsin guys, I should say Central guys. So he brought in Tony. And Tony, working for Jim Baldwin was an experience in itself. I mean, it's go get it done or don't come home. And so he was trial by fire and did a great job there. And then he started his own company. And then when the PDG separated and went back to the Torque Series, Lucas came in and basically bought his series and brought him. I guess he was a part of it. I thought he was a part owner in it. But anyway, Tony and his wife and his whole family, I mean, they're relentless on how hard they work and, you know, all the crap that they put up from the drivers and everything. And that's got to be a big blow. I don't care what anybody says.
That's like 10 or 15 people.
Well, but it's not just that. It's Tony Vanillo himself. You know, Tony and I, we had some major words. Carl tried to bring us together to do Tony's series, and Tony said, well, I just want you to race in it. I don't want you to be a part of it. And, basically told him to kiss my ass. I didn't want to do that. And so because Tony was honest with me, and this is what I always got to give to him. He said, you know what, Rick, I don't do good with partners. So I don't want to partners. I don't want to be your partner because we're going to get in a fight and break up anyways. So I don't want to do it. I'm going to do it on my own. And everything that I've ever seen when it came to parking, tracks, all the different stuff, even if I disagreed with him on some of the stuff that he put on tracks, Tony was always there. Him and his wife and his daughter and his kids and his in-laws and all, everybody was always there working their ass off. So that is going to be a huge blow to Lucas. And I wish Tony well because, like I said, a lot of times I didn't agree with him on a lot of stuff that he did. But you
got to respect him busting his ass.
I respect the passion.
Is it like a head coaching thing where, you know, I mean, you could have a great head coach for a team, but after just so many years with that same team, it might just be time for a change. I mean, do you see any validity in that point, or was he just the right guy?
I don't know. I think Tony brings a lot to the table, and I think that Tony needed help in certain areas that he wasn't getting, and I think that was the problem. I think if you give Tony a certain job to do, I think he could be the absolute best at it. But anybody, I don't care who you are, myself, anybody, you know, you can't do everything. I like to design tracks. I don't like to take a tractor and build them. I like to race them. You know, I don't like to officiate them. So I'll give me a couple jobs. I'll be the best at that, and I'll give you guys a couple jobs. You'd be the best at what you do.
Well, guess what? It's time to give Nancaro a job doing the best at what they do. Thanks, guys, so much.
Yeah,
Ricky,
thanks a lot.
Luke, thanks for coming in and talking to us and hang out. Nancaro is going to rock us out to break. We're going to come back. We're actually going to feature one of their songs. And then, hey, you know what? We're going to get to talk to the band. So hang out. A lot more Edge, Azunia Studios. Man, we're rocking and rolling. We'll be right back.
At General Tire, we make tires that can take on the elements and survive. Less than 1% of the earth is paved. Go attack the rest. General Tire. Anywhere is possible. Be sure to visit your local General Tire dealer for a complete line of General Tires.
What's up, all you little hawk maniacs? Rick Thorn, this is Edge Radio. I'm on!
All right, folks, so welcome back to Edge, rocking out here in Azunia Studios. Ryan, Jim, we're sitting here live, and, man, we're having an awesome time. The big packed house in here. Matt Cook just rolls in, you know, beating on the back of Ricky's head during the interview, and he doesn't even really stumble. That was pretty good.
He doesn't even say.
Wild Tiger is in the house, people. Wild Tiger is in the house.
He is the Wild Tiger. I want to throw a quick shout-out to General Tire, our giant sponsor of Edge Radio.
Appreciate everything they do for us.
Making it happen for us. We're going to go to a full-length feature song now from Nancaro.
What's the name of this song, guys?
It's called Heart, and we're called Nancaro.
It's called Heart. This is Nancaro, ladies and gentlemen. Check them out.
1, 2, 3, 4. We'll be right back.
and gentlemen, Nan Carroll rocking the house here at Azunia, man.
Get on up here, you guys. We're going to ask you a couple questions here on the good old
Mike. They're going to rush the stage, man.
Rush it. Yeah, so introduce the band.
My name's Graham Nancaro. I'm singing. Over on my right here, we got Joe on the bass and Russell on the lap steel guitar.
Howdy, howdy.
We're Nancaro. Thanks for having us.
So give us a quick breakdown on how, you know, you humans got together and how you come to play. They are kind of weird looking.
We were hanging out at a good show on a Saturday night down in San Diego. My buddy introduced me to Joe. We ended up talking, got numbers, and turns out he played with some guys back in the day.
Were you all already playing music and singing on your own
We all had our own things going on for a long time.
Nice.
Now, I asked
you earlier, how would you classify this music? You just say straight country. There's no variation because every music has a subgenre. There's a lot of room on iTunes for everything. You know?
Ricky calls it California redneck.
That's what he told me. I guess you guys saw you up at the whiskey this last
whiskey
weekend?
Whiskey on Saturday.
Whiskey a go go?
Yeah.
Good stuff?
It was awesome. Yeah. Good time, yeah.
Have you played there before?
No. First time.
Yeah.
You guys played there?
No. I have back in the day.
I've played there before.
Yeah, big dog.
I haven't, no.
What's been the biggest challenge for your band so far? Well, come on.
We got a mic pointed at you?
Kind of sore throat.
Biggest challenge?
Getting our drummer to rehearsal.
Yeah, he's not here today.
We're still waiting for him. We can only hold the show so long.
Nah. Yeah.
So four of you total?
Six.
Six? Yeah.
So this is Nancaro Light right here, basically,
yeah.
Right?
Hillbilly.
Two other guitar players, Tommy Andrews, who's actually out on tour with White Buffalo right now, who plays guitar in our band, and then Raleigh Love, who was a member of the Bee Farmers.
Really?
From old cowpunk days back in the day. Yeah, he's
classic.
Our other guitar player.
Nice.
And, you know, we like to do our little strip-down set every now and then, hillbilly style.
I like it.
I love that steel guitar, I'll tell you what.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All that's missing is just what are the upside-down tubs with the string and the dung, 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 dung.
Like the Soggy Bottom Boys? What are you talking about, man?
Play the jug?
Well, tell me, I mean, obviously, you've been around the game a long time. Following through with all the, you know, the high-tech music, we like to ask all our musicians come in, you know, keep it independent. It seems like record labels, that's not even something people shoot for any days. They're all about trying to release their music, you know, independently, as well as find, you know, merchandise and live gigs seem
just
to be the real.
Just get their music out there, man, is first, and then that all comes later nowadays.
Yeah. The whole industry's changed so much. I mean, you can buy our CD on iTunes right now, and you don't have to go through distribution. You can be your own distributor, your own label pretty much, but we all kind of decided a long time ago, we love music, we love playing, we like playing old school style, we play with vintage instruments, we write traditional songs, and that's really why we do it, because we love the music and we really like hanging out with each other.
Yeah. Speaking of vintage, that slide guitar over there, tell me about that thing.
It's a 1959 National Super Bowl
stock. Something happened here.
There you go.
I think it is.
A 1959
Supro. There we go.
There we go.
Oops, sorry.
You bumped a big. Bring him back down.
There we go.
Damn engineers. All right. 59. So, wow. Does that run on 220 voltage or
what?
Yeah. 9-volt batteries? Okay.
120. Yeah.
Steam?
120, 121, whatever works.
Whatever.
Hey, you know what? It sounds kick-ass, so that's all that matters, I guess, at the end of the day. So
that amplifier is actually a 1963.
Is that an electrostatic speaker?
I don't know. It's just
he's like, I don't know, guy. It's an old speaker.
Tone. Sears made that, and it's you used to put a guitar in it, and I just use it.
So you put the guitar in it, and it's a speaker.
Yeah. Well, it's an amplifier with little tubes in it. It's awesome. It's
I had no clue what you were talking about until he just showed me that. That would explain.
You didn't know
you.
The sound was coming out of the standing up guitar case right there.
No, we're gonna have to get a photo of that for our Facebook later on. But yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of Facebook, so let's tell everyone where they can find out what's going on with the band, all your social media. I know you tweet. We tweeted back and forth a little bit earlier today, and. Where can they find you?
We're on Twitter, Nancaro Music, Nancaro Music, NancaroMusic.com. Also, we're on Facebook. Our album is on iTunes.
What's the name of the album?
The name of the album is Valley of the Deer, which isn't been what Nancaro means in England or Cornwall. And You could also Reverb Nation. Reverb Nation also has some songs you could preview for free if you want to check us out.
Was there ever any chance in your life that you were going to be a weatherman?
Absolutely not.
No? No. Obviously, your dad, Lauren, been the weather. What a weatherman in San Diego for many, many years. Matter of fact, our friends used to live next door to each other. And you guys used to be neighbors with the Johnsons too, didn't you?
We did. That's how we met.
Yeah.
I grew up with them and nice. The kids and Lukey.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Damn those Johnsons.
Yep.
They got their grips on everybody.
He made me want a motorcycle. That was the beginning.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You guys ride?
I just ride a bike on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you guys do for fun when you're not jamming music?
Look for women.
Good answer.
Yeah, he's a single man.
Yeah. Live vicariously through him. Yeah, get his stories and live
vicariously. Ladies and gentlemen, he can sing. Check him out, man. And, of course, is there also nancaromusic.com?
Yes. And that'll transfer you right to our album and our show dates on everything.
So you played the Whiskey Saturday. Upcoming gigs, what's next for you guys?
We got one in Lestat on the 20th.
Where?
At Lestat. It's in
Normal Heights.
Normal Heights, San Diego.
It's actually for a motorcycle club. It's having their national get-together. We're playing.
Then we got one in Julian Bailey's.
Okay.
Which is going to be awesome during Apple Days. And then the four.
Tell me about the free pies. And Julian, come on down and cover charge and some pies.
Yeah. And then the 4th, we got Solana Beach. 20th, we got some music fest in San Diego. And we'll be out in Lancaster, actually, on the 29th.
Are you coming to our race?
Yes.
You're playing our race?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet. Because I was telling really all these guys, most everyone's from the Midwest, and I'm like, man, we need some music from around here and whatnot. So that's awesome. Guys, we're out of time, but thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah,
hopefully
thanks a lot.
You'll stick around for a little bit and rock us a couple more songs after the show's over. But appreciate you stop by Azunia Tequila Studios. Thanks Ricky and Luke Johnson, great to have you all. Brian, you know what? I'm going to say it was great to have you here, too.
You know
Happy birthday, Mrs. Dival, one more time.
Yay. You did a great job today. I did. I know I did a great job today.
Yeah, we're good.
We're on it. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Make sure and check our Facebook, Twitter,
we'll be getting some
email.
Songs from these guys up shortly here. But all of you guys have a great week. We will see you next Wednesday right here on The Edge.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.
From the KCAA Weather Center, I'm Todd Bryant. For tonight, we'll see mostly clear skies in the evening hours, turning partly cloudy overnight with some patchy fog developing. Lows falling to 65. Tomorrow, partly cloudy to start off the day, then mostly sunny by afternoon. Warmer, afternoon highs could climb to 102. For Thursday night, mostly clear and a low at 66. Friday, mostly sunny skies, afternoon high at 103. For Saturday, mostly sunny, high 102. Sunday, sunny and 97. That's your weather forecast for this hour from the station that leaves no listener behind. NBC News Radio, AM 1050, KCAA.
NBC Radio News is KCAA, News Talk 1050, the Inland Talk Express. NBC News Radio, this is Superstation KCAA, Loma Linda with your local news here at 5 o'clock. Now here's what's going on. And some good news to lead off with. Many employers are expecting to expand their staffs the last quarter of this year. Manpower Incorporated says that nationwide, it is the best fourth quarter job outlook for seekers in 5 years. But only 18% of Inland Empire employers surveyed expect to add workers. Johannes Munoz at the University of Redlands School of Business says jobs are coming back, but very slowly.
For the upcoming holiday season, we do expect to see a hiring in the areas where the retail sector is particularly strong.
Still, Manpower found 13% of local employers will downsize the fourth quarter. About two-thirds say they plan no changes. A high-speed chase down the Route 210 freeway early this morning had deadly consequences. Highway Patrol officers had tried to stop the speeding motorist from driving through a freeway closure in Altadena.